Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are tuned to Radio Islam International and welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zinat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, this morning we commence with Monday Morning Focus, the Ideal Muslimah, and inshallah we'll continue to share with you the stories of the services of the early Muslim women and the sacrifices that they endured for the sake of Islam. So the great personalities that I will be looking at today, inshallah, is Habsha bin Rafi al-Ansariya, the mother of Amr, and Saad bin Mu'ad, radiallahu anha, anhu rather. Then Al-Furayya bin Malik and Ummi Hisham bin Haritha ibn An-Numan, and then Ummi al-Mundir Salma bin Qais, Asma bin Yazid ibn Sakan al-Ansariya. So these are the four people, and actually it's the last ones that I will be doing for today, inshallah. That will be followed by Drug Talk with Nazia Saliji, our outreach program coordinator at the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Lanesia. Our discussion today is on we're going to be talking about substance abuse once again, what it is, what is an addiction, but we definitely will be going into the different types of drugs that there are and the categories of drugs, inshallah. A lot of things that we want to talk to you about today, so if you feel that you have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial 011-854-1548, and you can also SMS or WhatsApp me on the number 082-84-92-786, inshallah. So that comes up in the second slot of our program, but for now let's continue with Monday Morning Focus, the Ideal Muslimah. And like I said, we're going to be talking to you about some of the sacrifices and the services that the early Muslim women provided for the sake of Islam, inshallah. Okay, so the next person or next personality we'll be talking about is Habsha bin Rafi al-Ansariya. She was the mother of Saad ibn Mu'ad radiallahu anhu. And, you know, during the campaign of Uhud, she came running towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was on his horse, and Saad ibn Mu'ad, that is her son, was holding onto his reins. Saad then said, O Messenger of Allah, this is my mother. And when the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saw her, he said to her, of course she is most welcome, and he stopped for her, and then when she came closer, he offered his condolences for the death of her son. So she had another son by the name of Amr ibn Mu'ad, who had also died, and he told her that her family, or at least he gave her the good news that her family, are some of the martyrs in paradise, and he prayed for them. So actually, the one son already died, Amr ibn Mu'ad, and of course she had the other son with her, who was Saad ibn Mu'ad. And she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who welcomed her and of course gave her the glad tidings of her family being, part of the martyrs in paradise, alhamdulillah. Now, among these great women, well, is another person, another two women, Al-Furayya bin Malik and Ummi Hisham bin Haritha ibn An-Numan. Now, they were among those who gave their oath of allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam under the tree at Hudaybiyah. And this was Bayat-e Ridwan, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called for when the mushrikeen prevented the believers from entering Makkah. Now, at that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent Uthman ibn Affan to Quraysh, and they detained him for so long that the Muslims then thought that the Quraysh had betrayed their trust and had killed him. Now Allah honored his messenger and those who were present on this blessed occasion, and he bestowed upon them his pleasure, which many die before they can attain it, and besides which all other hopes and aspirations pale into insignificance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of the Quran on this occasion, of course, which we will be reciting until heaven and earth passes away. Now, this is the ayat in chapter 48, verse 18. It says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah's good pleasure was on the believers when they saw fealty to you under the tree. He knew what was in their hearts, and He sent down tranquility to them, and He rewarded them with speedy victory. Okay, so the other personality that we're going to talk to you about now is Umm al-Mundir Salma bin Qais. Now, she was present at the Bayt al-Ridwan and had previously been present at Bayt al-Muminat. So she was known as Mubayyat al-Bayatain. That means the one who gave two oaths of allegiance. And when the Prophet ﷺ and his companions went out to besiege Banu Qurayza, this great Sahabiya, that is a female companion, went with them and earned the reward for jihad for the sake of Allah. So, you know, this is how much these women cared for the sake of Islam. They went out of their way to take part in battles, to make sure that, you know, Islam stays alive. And then there was this other lady by the name of Asma bin Yazid ibn As-Sakan al-Ansariya, and she took part in the battle of Al-Khandaq with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was also present at Al-Hudaybiyah and Bayt al-Ridwan and at the Battle of Khaybar. So they were there. They were there all the time. She continued her worthy efforts for the sake of Islam until the Prophet ﷺ's death, and he actually died being very pleased with her. After his death, she continued working in support of Islam. And in 13 AH, she traveled to Sham, that is the area between Syria, Jordan, and Palestine. And she was present at the Battle of Yarmouk. And when she obviously at that battle again, she used to bring water to the thirsty, tended the wounded, and encouraged the fighters to stand firm. Now, Yarmouk is one of the most famous battles in which the Muslim women took part alongside the fighting men. So they were alongside the men, taking part in that war. The Muslim army was sorely tested, and some of them retreated. So it was a very heavy battle that they fought, and some of the the soldiers actually tried to retreat. And the Mujahid women were fighting a rearguard action, rushing towards those who were running away with pieces of wood and stones, urging them to go back and stand firm. Ibn Khatir has recorded the courage of the Muslim women and the important role they played in this battle. And this is what he said, that the Muslim women fought on this day and killed a large number of Romans. They struck whoever among the Muslims ran away and said, "Where are you going to leave us at the mercy of these infidels?" When they were actually told off in this manner, they had no choice but to return to the fight. So they actually stopped many of those people that actually, wanted to give up on this war. They brought them back into the war again. So the Muslim women's stance and encouragement played a major role in making the Mujahideen stand firm until Allah decreed that they would be victorious over the Romans. But on this day, on this great day, Asma bin Yazid did extremely well and demonstrated a type of courage that was unknown among many of the men. She went forth into the battle lines and she struck down a number of the mushrikeen. Ibn Hajar also recorded her bravery. This is what they said. Salama al-Ansariya, she was also known as that, in other words, her name was actually Asma bin Yazid ibn As-Sakan, was present at Yarmouk, and on that day she killed 9 Romans with a tent pole, and she lived for a long time after that as well. Now, it is believed that this great woman spent the rest of her life in Sham. Once again, it's that area, Syria, Jordan, and Palestine, where the Battle of Yarmouk took place. She went with those Sahaba who went there, and she lived until the time of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. And when she passed away, she was buried in the cemetery of Al-Bab al-Saghir. And her grave is still there today, bearing proud testimony of the jihad of Muslim women for the sake of Allah. Now, the stories of these women that I shared with you over the past few weeks, this Muslim woman's history was actually written by those virtuous women themselves. And through the depth of their faith and the completeness of the understanding of the Muslim woman's mission in life and her duty towards her Lord and her religion. What I've been sharing with you over these few weeks just represents a very small part of a vast and a noble record of rare sacrifice, proud determination, unique talents, and deep faith. Undoubtedly, Muslim women today may find in these accounts an example worthy of following as they seek to form their own modern Islamic character and identity. So, you know, let us stop looking for role models elsewhere when we have such great women in Islam to look up to, inshallah. Well, that brings us to the end of, the Muslim women and the services and the sacrifices that they endured. Now, remember, these are just some of the women. There are so many others. So, I would suggest that we all study more and find out more, do more research, and find out more about these great women in Islam, inshallah. Well, we'll take a break now, and when we return, inshallah, we'll be speaking to Sister Nazia Sanaji, who is with me in the studio right now. She's the Outreach Program Coordinator at the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Indonesia. And today we're talking about substance abuse and addiction. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Drug Talk. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and joining me in the studio today is Nazia Saliji, our Outreach Program Coordinator. She's from the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Indonesia. And like I said, we're going to be talking about drugs, substance abuse, addiction, and a whole lot of other questions that we have for her too. In any case, let's start off. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much, Nazia, for joining us once again.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Zeenat, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the Radio Islam listeners. It's a pleasure to be in your space again.
Alhamdulillah. Now, I'm sure our listeners will be thinking, they talk about the same things all the time, but I think it's so important for us to elaborate on this and talk more about it, because, drugs, it has become such a scourge in our communities. This, so many lives have been ruined because of it, and we need to do something to help our people out there. And we can't just be sitting still and know nothing about it. We need to do something about it. So let's start off, and again, start off with a very basic, very simple question that we have for you with regards to substance abuse. What exactly is it?
Sister Zeenat, when it comes to drug abuse, I would like to, inform the listeners that as much as we can talk about it, things change all the time. Substance abuse and drug dealers, it's all being innovated on a daily basis. We recently had drugs like Flaka, and we had, a whole lot of uproar about what is this, new drug. So as much as we speak about substance abuse, we reinforce the messages in order for people to understand the seriousness of the issue. And substance abuse is something that's not going away. If anything, it has increased. If anything, the social ills related to substance abuse have increased. And when we talk about drugs, people often, shy away. They say, it's not in my family, or it's not something that affects me, so why should I, listen to the show? Why should I participate in a discussion? But loosely translated, substance abuse is long-term term pathological use of alcohol or drugs, characterized by daily intoxication and inability to reduce their consumption and impairment in their daily or their social or occupational activities. So it affects your work, it affects your family, it affects your friends, and excessive use of medication without medical justification is something that we have seen that is on the rise. And I'm talking about people like maybe moms or dads who are at home who use medication indiscriminately, where they self-medicate, and then worse off, they go on to become dependent on these, and then they basically prescribe to their friends that, you know, I use such and such a tablet when I have a headache, why don't you take two, without knowledge of whether this person could be allergic to any one of the ingredients in this. So substance abuse is the abuse of legal and illegal medication.
Okay. And when we talk about addiction, what does that really mean?
Addiction is a compulsive need for use. It's a habit where somebody becomes dependent on a substance such as heroin, cocaine, nicotine, or alcohol. I know when we speak about drugs, people normally don't think cigarettes are in that category. And actually, cigarettes falls into one of the categories of drugs, which are depressants. So when we talk about addiction, you don't have to look far. You can look, for example, at a person who is a smoker or someone who drinks energy drinks, for example. They could also become dependent, and a certain level of addiction is seen there. Addiction is also a behavioral disorder, such as gambling. So it's not where somebody is taking a substance, but it is where somebody is addicted to a behavior. They just like the thrill, and then they go through the stages of addiction, just like somebody who is addicted to drugs.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically not only, addiction is not only associated with drugs and alcohol, things like that, but definitely other things as well.
Absolutely. If we look at somebody who's addicted to food, you've got somebody who's addicted to not eating food, and they develop a kind of a disorder like bulimia, you know, and they're addicted to being thin, the images out there. You've got a lot of types of addiction, and this is why we're trying to bring the messages home, to say that as much as you think it's not affecting you, it could be right there in your home. If you think, like I said, of a cigarette smoker or someone who drinks a lot of coffee, take away the cigarette, take away the cup of coffee in the morning. Very exciting campaign that we're going to be hosting is called Kick the Habit. Kick one habit for 1 week, where we challenge people to basically give up something that you like for a week, be it sugar, be it coffee, even cigarettes, let's try that, or soft drinks, and see how that person copes. So addiction is, it's in your house if you have a smoker. Just monitor them. If you take away their cigarettes, I'm sure you will know what addiction is like.
Well, I've seen that. I've seen a person going absolutely crazy, couldn't find the match, or what is that?
The lighter.
And I thought, oh my God, I better find this lighter very fast.
Yes.
No, but it really does. Addiction is really something that one. And like you say, I think this would be a wonderful idea, this kick the habit thing. Just to see how addicted we are in our own homes. You know, it can be simple things. And I think medication, like you mentioned, is one of the things that we are so addicted to. We may not even have the pain. The pain may be gone, you know, months already, but we continue taking that pain. And I think in the month of Ramadan is coming up, I think many of us do this. I'm guilty of it too. You know, early in the morning, seri time, oh, before I get a headache, let me take
wow.
the panado. I used to do it, but
okay,
alhamdulillah,
yeah.
I've learned
yeah.
over these years, and, you know, you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
I used to do it. Really, yeah. I used to take a tablet of panado every morning, seri time, thinking, you know, just to avoid that headache coming up.
Is better than cure.
Yeah. But, you know, it's amazing the things we actually do and how addicted we are. And the sad thing is that we are teaching people around us, young children around us, to become addicted to medication.
Absolutely, Sister Zinat, which brings me to a very important point. When you have a headache and you have a seven-year-old around you and you say, I have a headache, mommy has a headache, please go and bring me two panados. The seven-year-old does not know what a headache is. She could think it could be bumping your head for all she knows. But the next time she's alone and she bumps her head, she thinks, ouch, this is pain. What does mommy do when she has pain? She goes to look for two tablets. So here we go. I will go and take two tablets. But the two tablets are not safe for her to consume because of her age, because of the level of chemicals in there. It's not prescribed for children under the age of 10 or 12. It's a very, very dangerous habit that we teach children. And it's a coping mechanism. You know, when it comes to pain, I don't think prevention, you know, in taking a tablet before the headache develops is a healthy choice for people to make. But it just goes to show how dependent we have become, you know, on medication and on substances per se. I remember last year telling the story of the doctor. There was a guy who went to the doctor. He said, "Doctor, I have migraines and it's persistent. And the only thing that helps me is Brufen." So if the listeners know, Brufen looks, it's those sweet looking tablets that are used, that are usually given for arthritis and so forth, any inflammation. And the doctor says, okay. So he gives this guy the tablet and the next day, the guy's back in the doctor's surgery. He says, "Doctor, my Brufens are finished. Please, can you give me more?" So the doctor says, "Now, I've just given this guy, you know, so there's surely something wrong." So the doctor says, "You have a more serious problem. Maybe I should prescribe something alternatively for you, which is stronger." The guy insisted. He said, "No, Brufen is what I need." So the doctor gave him the Brufen and said, "Promise me tomorrow you will come back to collect your next batch. I promise you I will give it to you." So the guy was happy. He says, "Wow, I have a dealer here, you know." The next day, sure, he came, he fetched his Brufen, and he left. When he returned to the doctor says, "Okay, explain to me the nature of these headaches." He says, "Well, I can't see, I can't do anything, I can't, you know, I'm basically paralyzed if I don't take the Brufen." So the doctor says, "Okay, and this Brufen, did it work for you?" He says, "Yes, the Brufen worked for me, it was fantastic." So the doctor says, "And this last batch of Brufen, how did it work for you?" He says, "Well, this one worked the best. Within 2 minutes, I was fine." So doctor says, "It's interesting, because the last batch I gave you was in fact Smarties and not Brufen."
Yeah, so you see, it's just mind over matter.
Mind over matter. We need to think about it. Do we really need that tablet? What does it do for us? What do we go through when we experience that pain? You know, often the physical and the emotional is linked. So let's explore. You know, we say substance abuse is a symptom of a problem. People don't always use drugs because they are bored or they had great opportunities and lots of money and they just wasted it. People use because of boredom. People use because of escapism, rebellion, coping with pain. So we need to explore what are the issues that are related to the substance abuse or to addiction.
Okay. Yeah, so let's talk about some of the different types of drugs that there are on the market now.
Okay, Sister Zenith, the last time we had this conversation, we spoke about the three categories of drugs. There are seven different drug types at the moment.
Okay.
As I said to you, the drug situation is increasing, the threat is increasing, the scourge is increasing, and it's important for the public to understand that a drug is not something like cocaine or heroin or crystal meth. A drug is something like caffeine, like soft drinks, like painkillers and energy drinks. That is what drugs come cloaked as well. So we have got seven different types.
Mm-hmm.
We've got stimulants, right? We've got depressants. We've got hallucinogens. We've got dissociatives. We've got opiates or painkillers. We've got inhalants, which are things that can be inhaled. And we've got cannabis. And cannabis is its own drug type. So when we talk about different types of drugs, we are talking about drugs that fall into these categories but produce the same effects.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have things like ecstasy and cocaine, which are stimulants. But we would also have energy drinks and caffeine, which are stimulants. So legal and illegal falling under the category of a stimulant, something that makes you feel... you know, it speeds up the central nervous system. So it's increased alertness. The heart rate goes up, blood pressure goes up, and blood glucose goes up. So if you think about stimulant, the word stimulant is something that will make someone extra alert, extra excited. You'll notice the pupils are dilated and they're just super alert, you know, paranoid as well. And this can be very dangerous.
can I just come in here before we forget about this? Is stimulants also something that they would take for children, young students, and going to school, university, studying time, exam time? Is this something that children would take?
Absolutely.
Adults also, for that matter?
Adults, students, you know, to keep up with the fast-paced world we live in, with the demands of assignments and examinations coming up. We're going to be, you know, going into the second term now, in the second semester, we're already in there, where people are going to try and cope. They're going to try and stay awake all night. And how will they be able to do that? By the use of energy drinks and other mood-enhancing and, you know, other kind of stimulants as well. CAT has also been known to be prevalent amongst students, to keep them awake. Ephedrine as well, which is something that we have found trending amongst young people, especially university going students and matriculants as well. I would like to even take the opportunity to stress with parents that let's, you know, turn to some vitamins for the children, as in ginkgo biloba and other kind of vitamins which can assist students to concentrate better, instead of them drinking 1, 2, and 3 cans of, you know, energy drinks, which makes them stay awake, and then you'll find that they'll crash afterwards. So they'll need to sleep, but then they won't be able to sleep because they have more studying to do, and so they just keep drinking the energy drinks to stay awake.
I think it's important for parents to be aware of this, because like you said, the exams are around the corner, and you know, especially for matriculants, they're going to be very busy these few months until the end of the year. So we as parents should be very, very careful with our children and what they take. Okay. Look, you mentioned some of the categories of the drug, but can you go into more of that, the categories and the different types of drugs?
Okay, certainly, Sister Zinat. So what would happen when somebody has, is using a stimulant, mm-hmm. basically, because it's the first category, right? We all know what goes up must come down. And this is where a person develops tolerance. Whereas they were using, maybe drinking one can or one cup of coffee, you'll find that one cup of coffee or one can of an energy drink doesn't do it for you anymore or get you to that level. They will then have to take 2 cups of coffee or coffee twice a day. And so it will start growing. Okay. What happens is, an example of stimulants, like we said to you, caffeine. And caffeine is a common ingredient in soft drinks and in coffee, right? Then we've got depressants. These are the opposite to stimulants. Remember, even the word depressant tells you depressed.
It goes down,
right? So it also impacts your body's central nervous system, but with an opposite effect. It makes people feel as if things are slowing down. And then they call it downers. The street name for depressants are downers. Very important thing to note, and it's something, you know, we've got something called benzodiazepines. It's something that you find in cough mixtures and painkillers. And this is a downer, okay? For all the parents who allow your kids to go out, you know, obviously everybody allows their kids to go out, the date rape drug called Rohypnol is actually a downer as well. And it is something that is slipped into their cold drinks or, you know, into their whatever beverages they are drinking. And the unsuspecting person will then drink it, and obviously, it's terrible. What would happen afterwards is it impacts the memory, the judgment, the concentration, and the person's memory. It causes short-term memory loss. So after 2, 3, or 4 days only, this person would remember what had transpired on that specific night. And by that time, the perpetrators are long gone. We have seen many cases of Rohypnol. And it's sad, but it is a sign of the times, and thus we do awareness programs like this to educate parents that, you know, you need to make your children aware on safe and responsible party going, or, you know, don't take it for granted that you're sending your child to someone's house that you know, or, you know, you trust these people. Anybody can slip anything into your child's drink or into the punch that's prepared or anything. So we need to be alert as parents and educate our children.
Sure, that's very scary, because, you know, we sometimes think, you're not going to think bad about sending your daughter or your son to somebody's home that you know, but things can go wrong, and we need to be very careful about all these things. Jazakallah for you know, bringing up that so the parents can be aware of what can go wrong.
Absolutely. It's not intended to scare, but to make parents aware. Please have these conversations with your children before going out. Always be opening your own cold drink and don't leave your drinks unattended. Always be vigilant as to who's preparing the fruit punch, you know, who's preparing the coffee even, the tea even, because these substances, you cannot see it. It's like powder. Once it dissolves, a little maybe foamy white substance will float to the top of the drink. But if you pour a soft drink, you know, you'll think it's just the bubbles or it's just the glass. But these conversations need to be had, especially with your young children.
Okay, so that's the two that we're talking about, stimulants and depressants. There's things like hallucinogens. What are that? You know, what are those?
Okay, so hallucinogenics, these are substances that disrupt communication with your brain. So if we have hallucinogen, break up the word, hallucinate. These substances cause people to see things that are not there, and often it's their worst fears. So, for example, we've got LSD, we've got magic mushrooms. These are strong hallucinogenic drugs. Now, what would happen is people would see their worst fears come to life. When someone gets high on a hallucinogenic, it could take up to 12 hours for them to recover from the high. So whereas you would smoke dacha, it's a 3 or 4 hour high. Once they smoke hallucinogenics or they take in a hallucinogenic, it could last up to 12 hours. And now there are two types of trips. We call them trips on hallucinogenics. One is a good trip and one is a bad trip. A good trip is where they would see, you know, things that are not scary. But if they have a bad trip, it would cause people to basically, if I can put it down, a guy would run from Midrand Gallagher Estate to Lens because he saw the devil jumping on people's heads. These are the types of hallucinations
weird,
they
very
have.
Weird things.
Yes, and you must know, because it's happening in his head, it's real to him. He could run into traffic. He could get seriously injured. He could be the driver of a car. He could be hallucinating while he's driving, thinking he's flying a plane or a drone, and he could seriously injure himself or other people. So it's quite a serious thing, and hallucinogenics are easily available. Mm. So the scary thing is...
Yeah. What would these, you know, in what form would you find these things?
So you would find them in tablets, and you would find them, they can also be easily absorbed through the skin. So if you have your children who are buying from the vendors outside schools, they have got these chappies with tattoos on them. So what happens is the child applies the tattoo to their skin, and then they put a damp cloth or so, and then the tattoo comes off on the skin. The skin absorbs the LSD, and the child starts acting strangely, very hyperactive, you know, could be seeing things, could not be seeing things, because of the dosage. But you find that the child only wants to buy these chappies. And these tattoos are cartoon characters that attract these children. So what happens is, if you've looked at these chappies, you can actually open the wrapper, take out the tattoo, you know, you can paint the LSD onto the tattoo and have it dry out and put it back into the wrapper without anybody even knowing. So again, a plea to parents. If you want to, please send your children with everything from home. You cannot give your child money and say to your child, buy, knowing full and well that there are vendors at the school. The kids are buying from these unscrupulous people who you cannot track afterwards. Human trafficking is real. Child trafficking is on the increase. So what would happen is there's three steps. Trick, trap, transport. Trick, make the child buy this gum, for example. When the child starts walking funny, they watch the child. They follow the child. If the child is walking home, they follow the child to see at what point the child will become groggy and start to lose their judgment. Mm-hmm. And then they'll come to the child and say, your mommy sent me to fetch you. At that time, even though the child knows I should not jump into this car, the child's defenses are down because of the drug. And that is how they transport. So trick, trap, transport.
And drug. Drug talk, and yes, we're talking about substance abuse, addiction, we're speaking about the different types of drugs and the different categories of drugs. So Joining me in the studio is Nadia Saleji, our outreach program coordinator. She's from the Nishtara Rehab Center here in Linasia. And yeah, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all that information with us, Sister Nadia.
Always a pleasure, Sister Zina.
Okay, let's continue. Let's talk a little about the opiate abuse. What is that all about?
Sister Zina, opiates are powerful painkillers that produce a sense of euphoria or a kind of a happiness, a kind of a calmness in users. It is derived from the poppy plant and it's often prescribed by doctors to patients who are suffering from intense pain. They are extremely habit-forming and can cause addiction in as little as 3 days. So, it's not that far off. It can be smoked, eaten, drank, injected, or taken as pills. Now, we have seen an increase in people who are using drugs in conjunction with painkillers. So, what they would do is they would buy a specific type of cough mixture and they would have it with dacha, for example. They would buy a specific type of cough mixture and they would have it with crystal, where they would mix it and then they would inhale it, basically. They would smoke it. That's why they say opiates can be smoked, eaten, drank, or taken as pills. The pills are crushed and mixed with other substances and taken to enhance the effect of the substances.
Okay. Now, one thing I know about these strong medications or painkillers is that you cannot get it without prescription. So how do you, how do they get it?
In an ideal world, Sister Zenith, there are some people who have access to the opiates. There are some who would then take those that you do not need to have a prescription for, and they would use it in excessive amounts. And this is where you see people going pharmacy hopping, for example, where they know the pharmacies will definitely not give you more than the prescribed amount. Okay. And then they would go from pharmacy to pharmacy, and if they're really desperate, they will go from area to area, different pharmacies, buying the adequate amount of the painkillers that they need.
Yeah. Well, I know, certainly know, because when you do have maybe a surgery or something, and they do prescribe very strong medication, and you cannot go to the chemist and just get another one. You know, can you just please repeat this? They definitely will not without a prescription.
Absolutely, Sister Zenith. But unfortunately, we do have people who will doctor hop, for example, who will, they will try by any means necessary to get their hands on that tablet.
And they actually do it.
They actually do
it. Can get it right.
Absolutely.
Okay. The next one that we want to talk about is the inhalants. So is there anything about these opiates that you would like to still share, tell us about?
I would like to warn the listeners on the effects, adverse effects of opiates. It can cause constipation, liver damage, brain impairment, euphoria, and drowsiness, as well as sedation and a cardiac arrest, which is if the dosage is too high. It can cause cardiac arrest. And this is extremely dangerous for, and remember, it doesn't just cover someone who's under or over a certain age. We have seen an increase in people using antidepressants. We have seen an increase in people using different types of painkillers when they can't get hold, of the antidepressants. We've seen people who come in and say to us, I use up to 50 of a specific painkiller a day. And these are people over the age of 50. Who now come forward and say that they need help. So I would like to stress again that we cannot teach our children that painkillers are a coping mechanism. And when you write exams, you have got to take medication in order to make you concentrate optimally. We've got to be very careful about the crutches and coping mechanisms that we teach our children about.
Okay. Now, inhalants is another category of drugs. Can you tell us more about that?
Okay, Sister Zenith, inhalants are made up of everyday household items. It causes a brief feeling of euphoria. And as the name suggests, inhalants are always inhaled as gases or fumes. The highs slightly differ from inhalant to inhalant, but most abusers are willing to huff whenever, whatever inhalant they can acquire. An example of inhalants. Now, remember, inhalants is anything that you can breathe in. So, we have things like aerosol sprays, room deodorants, gasoline, glue, thinners, paint, benzene, and we have seen cases. These are not things that we are discussing that have been international problems or, you know, I'm talking about things, actual cases where people have come forward for help. And children as young as 13 have been using things like air freshener. Why would the child be shooting up air freshener? For the brief sense of euphoria he gets. So, for example, a mom, she discovered that she was going through something like 4 air fresheners in the month, and she only has 1 bathroom. Until one day, she heard her 13-year-old son inside the bathroom, and he had been spraying incessantly. And when he came out, he went to lay down. So she observed his behavior, and after a time, she discovered that her child was indeed shooting up air freshener. He was only 13 years old. And when we investigated, we found that he was being bullied at school. So drugs are a symptom of a problem. Today it's an inhalant. Tomorrow he will start smoking to deal and then move on to stronger things. Mm. So pay attention to your children, to their friends. You know, what are their social situations? If your child says, I feel bad today, I didn't have a good day, find out why didn't they have a good day. You know, find out as much as you can so that you are able to do the intervention there where it's necessary.
Mm-hmm. Definitely keep that communication open with your children all the time. You know, speak to them and listen to your children. I think it's so important for us to listen to them. Okay, we don't have much time, but I want to talk a little about tobacco. Tell us more about tobacco. You mentioned it earlier in the program. So how does that become, a drug or...
Okay, so Sister Zina, the reason I spoke about tobacco, and I know I'll have a lot of backlash for this, all the cigarette smokers are shaking their heads now, they have them probably lighting one now. But the active ingredient in tobacco, or in a cigarette, is nicotine. It's a chemical that acts as both a stimulant and a depressant, and it gives users a minor immediate rush followed by a feeling of relaxation. It is one of the most addictive substances known to man, and it is dangerous for people, for teenagers especially, to even try. What it can cause is a higher risk of blood sugar or diabetes, weight gain, and it can cause a lot of other heart attacks. It can cause cancer. It can cause a stroke. It causes your blood vessels, to constrict. It causes a lot of health problems, and it is the most socially acceptable drug right now, and I did call it a drug. It is addictive. It is extremely common. It is a multi-million rand industry that has... how can I say, innovated. We now have e-cigarettes, we now have hookah pipes, we now have vapes, we have a whole generation that's been born out of cigarette smoking. And the active ingredient is nicotine, and it is highly addictive, and people are addicted. And the appeal is that you cannot tell your child again, and I always bring it back to children, because we role model for children, and we are producing the next generation of cigarette smokers, of drug addicts, and of, painkillers, dependent people. You cannot say don't smoke. You know, my child, I don't want you to smoke, I don't want you to drink, I don't want you to mix with bad friends. And then you say, here's 50 rand, go buy me my cigarettes from the shop. Because children will not do what you say. They will do what they see you doing. So the role modeling is very important. And when it comes to, to these types of things, Nishtara is there to assist people. People say, how do I quit smoking, And we say to them, it is 90% willpower and 10% of whatever else you choose to use. Be it a gum, a medication, it could be a lollipop for all we know. But your willpower is the most important thing. They say, if you think you can, you are right. If you think you can't, you are right.
No, I certainly believe it. You can do anything that you put your mind to. It's amazing. If you want to do something, you can do it. If you want to stop smoking, you can do it if you put your mind to it. Anything for that matter.
Absolutely.
So, that's all we ask our listeners out there. Try. And the month of Ramadan is coming. If we can do it in Ramadan, so why can't we do it anytime else, after Ramadan? Just stop, make up your mind, this is it, I'm not going to do it anymore. And alhamdulillah, if you do something good, Allah will guide you and Allah will assist you in whatever you are doing.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. How can the community very, very quickly assist Nishtara?
How can the community assist Nishtara? Basically, we would like to get as much of this awareness out as possible. So we offer workshops where we invite parents to do the educational stints, where we educate parents on the signs and symptoms of substance abuse, on the dangers of using drugs, and parenting skills. We offer teacher training workshops. We would like the community to volunteer with the organization and contact us regarding hosting these programs in your community. Remember that these workshops are free. So when we conduct them, all we're asking is that you arrange for 10 to 15 of your neighbors, for example, to come through, give us a space where we conduct these workshops, and we make you aware as a parent. Remember, these conversations are being had in your schools by your children, and they are conducted by other children who do not have the understanding of the implications. As a parent, you need to arm yourself with as much knowledge as possible. So we are appealing to the community to volunteer with us in our initiative in the community and assist us by getting out there.
Inshallah. Well, the number to dial is 011-854-5988. That's the Nishtara Rehab Center. So, and I think there's another number too, 852-2176. Those are the two numbers to call if you need any kind of assistance or you need to know anything about these workshops. Please call them and I'm sure they'll be most willing to be of assistance to you. Thank you so much, Nazia. It was wonderful talking to you. And thank you so much for all the information that you share with us. I hope, you know, it will benefit our listeners out there, inshallah.
Ameen. It's a pleasure, Sister Zinat.
Jazakallahu khair. Well, listeners, that's it then from us. Until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.